Now, as they're going to go ahead and go forward with that, I want to, I felt this kind of come up, and I want to kind of deal with it a little bit, all right, for just a minute. I know that some of the things I'm saying, even though it is straight from the Bible, I mean, it's just Scripture, that it might be vastly different, very likely is vastly different, possibly from what some things that you've heard before. And for that, I don't make any apology because I'm just reading the Bible. That's all I'm doing. I will say this, though. I want you to understand something here and don't misconstrue it. Do not connect an arrogant haughtiness with the position of being a son and walking like Jesus. You understand? In other words, just because you find out you have authority, just because you find out that you start to walk like him and that you can do what he did and all that kind of stuff, don't start walking with an attitude of pridefulness and all that. Always remember, the minute you, we just quoted in the last session, you're a son, not a servant. You're a son who serves. Remember that, okay? Servant is a class of being. A son is a class of being. The Old Testament saints were servants. The Bible says in Hebrews that Moses was a servant over his house, right? But Jesus as a son over his house. Now, so just understand, just because you have and can walk in authority doesn't mean that that comes automatically with an attitude of arrogance or pridefulness or anything like that. Because what tends to happen, now, years ago there was a movement that was getting a hold of some of these truths, and they started moving out in it. But unfortunately, and this is what the enemy does. The enemy doesn't just sit back while this truth comes out. He's working at trying to figure out, how can I derail this truth? He does not want this to get established in the church. So he works on how to derail it. And this movement started back in 1947, actually, and was moving forward. But because the leaders never got a really good handle on servanthood, they started looking at Christians as, well, I'm a full manifested son of God and you're not. You're not there yet. And therefore, you should listen to me and do exactly what I tell you. And actually, a lot of the shepherding movement and all that kind of stuff came out of that, to where they were telling people who to marry, what kind of cars to buy. I mean, details, stuff in their life that's ridiculous. Okay? So what the enemy did was he came in, and there was a lot of good truth. Even Stanley Frodsham, that wrote the book Apostle of Faith about Smith Wigglesworth, he went up there in Battleford in Canada to Sharon Bible School and said, this is like it was in the beginning. This is like it was in the early days of Pentecost. Same power, same fervor, everything is good, this is moving on. And they were moving forward, and many other groups didn't like it. And they started saying, oh no, this is a heresy, this is a this thing or that thing, and they were getting off. And they weren't, they were good, it was Bible, it was truth, except they started getting off when they started dividing Christians and saying, I have this revelation and you don't, therefore I'm here and you're here, therefore I'm better than you. And it got away from, I'm here to serve you and help you see this. And it moved from that over to, because I have this revelation and you don't, you should serve me and I should lord over you. Right? And the minute they did that, they moved away from the gospel. They moved away from sonship. And they started moving into bondage. And when they did that, the things started falling apart. So the enemy is always trying to find ways to derail this truth. God's always trying to find ways to get it into the church. So we have to remember, if we're going to walk like Jesus, it has to be the fullness. It has to be, yes, there is power. Yes, it is awesome. It's amazing to see things. But at the same time, we have to remember the reason we have all this is so that we can help people come to God. And the people that don't know sometimes what we know, that we don't look at them and go, oh, I'm better than you because I know this and you don't. We look at them and say, oh, here, let me help you. And you actually help them. You don't say, here, go learn it for yourself, and you can't get it until, you know, you're not as good as me until you learn this. So I help you. If you don't understand healing, I help you get healed. Amen? Now, there has to come a point where we start to recognize that. So don't, because I think kind of some of what I was getting, picking up, was that there's a certain amount of, you know, I don't buy this, I don't get this, because this doesn't, it doesn't look like what you think traditional Christianity is. But in reality, what I'm teaching is traditional Christianity. What the church has today is a modernized Christianity, which is not what the apostles taught. It's not what Jesus taught. What I'm teaching you, I'm reading it straight from the Bible. I'm just reading scripture. You can read it for yourself. But it is, we must always remember that we are sons. And because of that, we're in a position with God that gives us the authority to help people, to bring freedom to people, to set people free. Not just, listen, anybody, and I don't want to demean this, okay, but honestly, you don't have to be saved to preach. Amen? I mean, think about it. You don't have to, there's a lot of preachers out there that aren't even saved. So you don't have to be saved to preach. So you say, well, why would you say that? Well, because I want you to realize what I'm talking about here, this type of Christianity, you have to be saved to do this. Right? To walk in this, you have to be saved. You have to have the Spirit of Christ. But that Spirit of Christ has to be the full Spirit of Christ. And the Spirit of Christ, if you have the fullness of the Spirit of Christ and He is in you, then, yeah, there is power. Of course there is. Why? Because you wouldn't look like Jesus if you didn't have power. But there's also the aspect where you are a servant, where you help, where you're not proud and arrogant. And even that comes into a, well, I found this out, and if I did, you can. So now you go find it out. I'm not going to help you. You go find it. You go dig it out. You search it. You know, I searched. I got it by reading. I got it by studying. If I did, you do it. I'm not going to give it to you. Right? You understand? That's not the Spirit of Christ. The Spirit of Christ is, you know what? If you never get it, if you keep coming to me for the next 50 years saying, here, I'm sick, pray for me, I'll still pray for you. You know? I don't like it. I'd prefer you learn it yourself and get a hold of yourself and take it out to the world, because if you keep coming to me, or you think you have to, then that means you're probably not going to be that effective in the world. If you think you've got to come to me to get it, you're not going to think that you can take it to them. You understand? Now, what you'll be, you may be a busy evangelist out there rounding up people. Oh, Curry Blake's coming back, so come on into church and get him to pray for you. You may be an effective evangelist to bring people in, but you won't be an effective minister of the gospel of going out and saying, you know what? Guess what? You ain't got to wait till Curry Blake gets here. Same Spirit in him's in me. What he can do, I can do. Amen? Because I don't have anything you don't have. We have. If you have the Spirit of Christ, that's what I got. Right? You say, yeah, but you got a gift. Really? Which one? Tell me. Because I don't recognize it. All I'm doing is sharing what I found. I found truth in the Word of God. I'm just sharing that Word of God. And, you know, if there's any type of gifting or blessing in that area, honestly, it's not one of the ones you'd find listed in 1 Corinthians or Romans or anything. Honestly, if I had a gift, I think it's that God has blessed me with the ability to just read the Bible for what it says without seeing it through some tainted eyes as this group or that group. And if He's given me any type of ability, I think it's in the ability to share what I learn in a simple way that allows anybody at any age to understand it. That's it. That's not a gift of word of knowledge. That's not a gift of healing. It's not that. I mean, you know, do gifts operate at times? I'm sure they do. I'm just not cognizant of it. I wouldn't say this is a gift. I don't do that. Why? Does it work? I'm sure they happen at times. But I don't care. All I care is that when I put my hands on somebody, God meets me there. Now, I understand He's there because I'm there. But what counts is what takes place, not why it took place. You know, it's not because I'm anointed. You got to get to me so you can get to the anointing. No, the anointing lives in you. That's the whole thing with this. So I want you to get this. Now, when we finish up here, there's going to be a good portion of this manual that we've not gotten to. There's going to be parts, basically all the books in the back of it, Colossians, Ephesians, things like that, and we're going through pieces of them. But I've been sharing this with you so you know how to get into this and go study it out. And as you study it, and if you need help, if you have a question, you can email us. I'm getting a bigger staff now. It helps that they can actually answer questions and things. You know, you can email me and ask me about a question, and you know, I obviously can't spend hours on the phone individually talking to a person because there's too many people. But we can help, and if you contact us, we will help you as quickly as we can. But honestly, sometimes that can take a while. Sometimes people's questions fall through the cracks, and you know, if you don't get an answer back, write it again. You know, it's a squeaky wheel that gets the grease. Amen. Keep asking. Keep knocking. You know, and keep sending us an email. We'll get to you. We'll help. We're just overwhelmed a lot of times with the numbers and the stuff that goes on. But we want you to get this. This is who you are. You got to understand, this is not just a message, like I said in the beginning. This is the gospel. This is the mystery that Paul was trying to get across to you. You know, they said that when the Apostle John, just before he died, he used to go to church, go to the meetings. And they said he would get up, and they would actually, because he was very old and aged, and he was walking up, and they said they would actually have to help him up behind the pulpit type thing. And they would always want to hear a word from the great apostle, the Apostle John. And he said he would get up there. And the funny thing was, every meeting he said the same thing. Never changed. Always said the same thing. And every time, all he ever said was, "Little children, love one another." That was it. Every time, imagine that. "Little children, love one another." Why? Because love covers it all. Gifts fail. Gifts pass away. All this stuff passes away. All that kind of stuff. Love never fails. Just love. What would love do? Love would set the captive free. Love would feed the hungry. Love would clothe the naked. Love would spend time with someone to stop and just listen to them. You don't have to preach. Most people, honestly, they're not always looking for an answer. Sometimes they're just looking for an ear. You ever notice that? Sometimes you want to talk to somebody and you don't want an answer from them, but as you talk, the answer comes out of your own mouth. Maybe sometimes you just need to be the ear that they're talking to so they can answer their own question. And just take time to just spend time with people. Right? I mean, people a lot of times, you know, people ask me questions or say things that honestly, I don't have any, you know, I don't care. You know what I mean by that? You know what I mean? I don't mean I don't care. But you do know what I mean, right? I mean, they'll tell me something about something. It means something to them, but it doesn't mean anything to me. Right? Because I'm not where they are. But I'll listen. And I try to pick up on it. And mainly what I'm trying to hear what they're saying behind what they're saying sometimes. Why are you telling me this? You know, it doesn't have. You're not asking me to pray. You're not asking me to do anything. Why are you telling me that? But I'll try to take time to listen. Honestly, I have a lot. I always have something else I could be doing. Okay, we're that busy. We could always be doing something. But we're never so busy that people aren't important. I don't always understand what the people are trying to get across to me or what they're asking me, if they're even asking me anything. But I can listen. Amen. And for the amazing thing is, that seems to shock people. That, you know, a preacher that has a website, a preacher that travels and that stuff, would actually listen, or that people are shocked that they can come up and talk. And I'm like, "Hello, I'm a person. Of course we can talk." "Well, you know, I've just been around some preachers and you can't." Well, that's not right. You know? At some point, we've got to be real. We've got to get back to just being with people. It's not easy, you know? And I'm not saying, because believe me, Satan will send people to do nothing but just take up your time. He will. He will purposely do that. He'll send people to just, you feel like it's just sucking the life out of you. You know? And they'll come back time and time again. But you know what? God's bigger. And any of the life they suck out of you, God's big enough to put more back into you. Right? And now, I'm not saying just given all that time, you know, you can tell people do this and you can set some things straight. But at the same time, make sure that we're just not so busy in the ministry that we're not serving people. Amen? Now, all of this goes back to, so there has to be power to represent Jesus. But there also has to be humility. And humility is not walking around all the time, well, I'm nobody, I don't count. Because really, when people say that out loud, what they really want somebody to do is go, oh no, you do count. You are somebody. That's what they really want. So that's not even real humility. It's a false humility trying to draw, you know, pats on the back. But you have to realize, real humility is simply submitting yourself to the Word of God. And even if you don't feel like it, you say about you what God has said about you. That's humility. That's what it is. The Bible says not to think of yourself more highly than you ought. What? Do you know how highly you ought to think of yourself? You're a son or daughter of the living God. That's pretty high. Amen? But the minute you get out of that and you start thinking, let me tell you, the way you think more highly about yourself than you ought is when you think more highly of yourself than you do somebody else. That's the minute you get out of that. As long as you know that we're all the same. You take Jesus out of us, we're all scum. Amen? That Jesus is the only good thing in us. Now, He recreates us. We're new creations. I understand that. But I'm saying, if it wasn't for Christ, none of us would count. None of us would matter. My life would, you would not believe. My life wouldn't count a bit. But because of Jesus, we've been in over 30 nations. We've seen 9 dead come back. We've seen thousands of people healed. We've seen every part of the human body healed. Why? Jesus, 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 Jesus. Always Jesus. Amen? Now, there is a truth. Yeah, we've had to submit and do things. We had to step out. We had to get out of our comfort zone. We had to do this. But come on. In exchange for what He's done for us, do you really think that's giving anything up? Do you really think that counts much as far as what we're suffering or we're going through? Not a bit. I mean, come on, it doesn't get any... I have the best life of anybody I know. It doesn't get any better than this. I go around the world. I see what God does. I get to... God gives me the privilege of speaking to His kids, which is an honor. And we see all these things, and I make a living doing it. You didn't get any better than that. You know, it's the old saying, find what you love to do and you'll never have to work another day in your life. That's why, you know, this isn't like work. You know, this is preaching's easy. Laying hands on the sick, that's easy. You know, the work of the ministry is loading and unloading all that stuff. You know, that's the work of the ministry right there. You know? And I'm not even doing that. They do that. Okay? So I told you, I got a great life. Okay? But I'm just telling you, whatever I'm doing, you can do this. And you don't have to do it like I do it. You just have to love people and, you know, get up and read the Bible. Paul said, you'll understand my mystery, what I know, the revelations, when you read what I've written. That's all you got to do. Just stand and read the Bible to people and tell them it's true. It means what it says. Isn't that easy? I mean, come on, how much of a theologian do you have to be to do that? I don't even have to know Greek, right? I don't have to know that stuff. I just read the Bible. And then whenever you do that, you read it, and then you put it into action, and then God does His part, and it's amazing. He makes you look real good. You know, and then people go, oh, you're something. And you're like, no, that's God. What, that part you saw that you thought was something, that wasn't me, that was God. Right? God's the something. Amen? I'm just the mule that got Him here. You know? He just rode into town with me. That's all. You know? Now, if He's in you, He was already here before I got here. And we're just having a fellowship with the Spirit. Amen? That's all this is. And it gets easier as you go along. And it gets harder to talk about healing point one, point two, point three, one. Because it's not a point. It's not a doctrine. It's life. You are healing. You are evangelism. You just open up. That's what this whole thing is about. And this scripture, the manual I gave you, and your Bible, this is life to you. This is it. You live in this. He said, if my word's abide in you and you abide in me, then me and my Father will come and we'll abide in you. And we will manifest ourselves to you. People say, well, how do I get the manifestation of God? Easy. Get this in you. get this in you to the point when you open your mouth, this is what comes out. And when this comes out, every time you open your mouth, Jesus will manifest himself. It's not something you have to make happen. When you start making things happen, in that sense that you feel like you have to make them happen, that's when you start getting in trouble. Because the first time they don't happen, you'll come up with a gimmick or you'll fake it. And then that's whenever you end up with preachers that do stupid things and put microphones in their ear like it's a word of knowledge and call out stuff. That stuff happens. It's ridiculous. You know, people say, well, what if, you know, you'd have bigger crowds if you did that? So what? This is either real or it's not. You know, if I don't want it to be real, I go do something else. I'm the reason I do this is because it's real. And it's more real than anything else I've ever done. Right? Even when I was in martial arts, it had to work. It wasn't games. It wasn't for sport. I didn't do tournaments. I taught police departments. We taught correctional officers. I taught military personnel. It was street fighting. It was eyes and, you know, knees and groin. That's it. That's the only targets. Everything else, it was over with in 3 to 5 seconds. If you didn't get over with that quick, it's too long. It had to work. My entire mentality has always been, it's got to work. It's got to be real. And that's what this book is. This book is the realest thing I've ever found. Whether it's in King James or Greek or anything else. So at some point, just believe it. Just decide before you even open it. Just, you know what? I believe it. Then open it, read it, and go, yep, there you go. And then just do what it says. Amen? Isn't this simple? That's why people don't get it. They're looking for that secret. There ain't no secret. You know, I always tell people, I didn't say it. Gordon Lindsay used to say it. And Kenneth Hagin said it too. But it said, opportunity comes in the form of work. Amen? You do what you need to do. It's not a secret. You know what if there was a secret, you know what the secret is? Most people won't do it. And if you do it, it'll work for you. So the secret's just do it. Just find somebody and love on them. Love them enough to set them free. Now, quickly here. Yeah. Page, where are we at? 47? Yep. Yeah. I want to take you, actually, over the next one. Yes, page 48. Yeah, in Ephesians 3, verse 1, Paul says, "For this cause I, Paul, the prisoner of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles, if you have heard of the dispensation of the grace of God, which is given to me," or given me to you, for you. That's what that means. All right, given me to you word. He said, listen, do you realize what he's saying here? He said, this dispensation of the gospel, what God has given me, he gave it to me for you. He didn't say he gave it to me because I was so special. I was so holy. I was praying. I was fasting. He said, God gave me this dispensation, this group of teachings here for you. He gave it to me and I'm supposed to bring it to you. So who's the important person here? The ones he brought it to, right? See, we overlooked that. The preachers, we're just the messengers. You're the important people. And when you start ministering, guess what? Now you're not the important people anymore. Amen? Now it's them again. It's whoever you're facing. They're always the important ones. You serve. You're giving it to them. He says, how that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words. Now notice, he said, I've written this to you before. I've written you some of this before. Isn't that right? And this is in Ephesians. That means that Ephesians isn't Ephesians. It means this is second Ephesians. Right? Because he's already written once to the Ephesians. That'd be first Ephesians. Just like if you read Corinthians, first Corinthians is not first Corinthians. He had already written a letter to them, and the letter he wrote to them, they wrote to him, and he wrote back. 1 Corinthians is 2 Corinthians, and 2 Corinthians is 3 Corinthians. We just don't have a copy of 1 Corinthians. Right? Are you totally confused now? Okay. How that by revelation he made known unto me the mystery, as I wrote afore in few words, whereby when you read, not 10 years after you read, When you read, you may understand my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. You get that? When you read what he writes about the mystery of Christ, you can understand his knowledge. Now, how many of you would like to have the knowledge of Paul concerning the mystery of Christ? That'd be pretty good, don't you think? Well, go one better than that. How about the knowledge of Christ? He's the one that gave it to Paul, and that's the Spirit that lives in you. Amen? He says in verse 5, he's talking about this mystery that was of Christ, which in other ages was not made known unto the sons of men, as it is now revealed unto his holy apostles and prophets by the Spirit. So in other words, as you read this, what is he saying? Isn't he saying, I'm revealing something to you that has never been revealed before? Isn't that what he's saying? He said, it's never been revealed until now. And now God has poured out this mystery. In other words, it used to be a secret, but it's not anymore. What is that? Well, he's going to tell us. Verse 6, that the Gentiles should be fellow heirs and of the same body and partakers of his promise in Christ by the gospel, whereof I am made a minister, according to the gift of the grace of God given unto me by the effectual working of his power. Unto me, who am less than the least of all the saints. You hear that? Now, no matter where you are, Paul said he was less than the least. So Paul put you above him. If you're in the body of Christ, he put you above him. He said, this was unto me, who am less than the least of all saints, is this grace given, that I should preach among the Gentiles the unsearchable riches of Christ, and to make all men see what is the fellowship of the mystery, which from the beginning of the world hath been hid in God, who created all things by Jesus Christ, to the intent that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church the manifold wisdom of God. In other words, now, the reason God has poured this out is so that, now watch, that now unto the principalities and powers in heavenly places might be known by the church. In other words, we know what God knows. We know what Jesus knows. It's given to us. This mystery is being poured out. And as it is poured out, we are going to be able to show principalities and powers the mystery of God that they didn't understand till now. It says that even the angels desire to look into the things that the church understands. Imagine it. Even the angels don't know. They don't get it. And it says that they desire to look into these things that we walk in. Amen? Are you hearing a depth that the church has not even touched? You know, one of the things I noticed and one of the things I really appreciate about the old guys, right? There's a lot of these old preachers that, you know, have been dead since before the 1900s. Most of those are the guys I really like to read after. Those are the guys I like to get their books around. Because you read even some of them, during, you know, Andrew Murray, he was into 1900s. But you have people like Andrew Murray, and you have various other people, you know, some of them, especially some of the people like even A.B. Simpson, some of the people that were around during that time. And you read these guys, and there was a depth to what they wrote. That, you know, you go down to the Christian bookstore and pick up a book off the shelf, and it's by somebody that's on TV today or just known today or something. And it's like you read it, and then you read those old guys, and you look at the two, you know, and it's the difference between, you know, a chef making a meal and the drive-thru window at McDonald's. You know what I mean? There's a depth to what these guys had. Why? But the difference is, most of these new guys are just writing to get stuff out. These old guys were writing out of a fellowship in the Spirit and an intensity, and an intensity of the Spirit, I would say, but even also just an intimacy of saying, you know what? It's not that they were sitting around time, oh, Jesus, we love you. Oh, Jesus, you're so... They didn't do that. They preached. They witnessed. They studied. And that depth that they had was they could see. They could hold this book up, and as they read through it, they could see past this book into heaven and see God's plan. And then they would come back to earth, so to speak, and write that stuff in these books. And you read it, and it's like, wow. And that's what we're missing today. People are just quick, write it out there. And it's not even right, let alone good. You could take one scripture and write a book on it. Just write it, you know, and study it out. You've got to learn to live in this book. You've got to learn to live here. Where this is what you think, it's what you talk about, it's what you chew on all the time. If somebody interrupts you, you're thinking about a scripture. You're going into this thing, and you're just chewing on it. And it gets better and better every time you do. And you're going to read it. I'm so many times, every night before I go to bed, this is usually the last thing I read. Usually. Sometimes I'll be reading something else, but usually, even if I'm reading something else before I go to bed, I pick this up and I'll go in, and I always go into the epistles. And I know I'm not going to go in there and read a whole book or a whole chapter. I'll just, you know, pop it open somewhere and just look. Okay, Galatians. Yep, okay, there you go. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. Whatever man sows, that shall also reap. He that sows the flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that sows the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. Let us not be weary in well-doing, for in due season we shall reap if we faint not. I'll read that. And I'll just kind of sit there, and I'll close the book. And when I go to sleep, that's what's playing around in my mind. And you know what? I don't have nightmares. I don't have bad dreams. When I finally go to sleep, you know, 2 or 3 in the morning, I sleep good. And when I get up in the morning, sometimes usually about 6:30 or so, guess what? I'm wide awake. I'm good. Why? Because this has been churning around. Because while my body sleeps, my spirit's wide awake. And it's churning this stuff around. Because your spirit knows this and agrees with it. Yeah, this is good stuff. Yeah. It's not learning. It's just churning. Amen? And see, if you don't understand that, or if you're going, I just don't get that. I just don't have a love for the Word of God. Okay, it's very simple. You're not reading it enough. Read it more. Read it until you love it. Read it until you can't do without it. The Bible talks about having an addiction to the Word of God. Read it till you get that addiction. Be addicted to the Word of God. Let this be your life. I remember many times, especially over the years, going to sleep. And my wife and I would be going to sleep, and I would turn on a little lamp beside the bed. And I would sit there and just read, because I wouldn't keep her awake, so I'd try to keep the light over and reading. But come on, you can't read this stuff and let somebody else sleep. Right? It's like, hey, look. Look at this. Look at this. Can you believe it says that? And you know, she's like, what? And I read it to her. Yeah. No, you don't get it. Listen. You know, it's like, this and this. Do you realize? And it's funny because some of the stuff I was reading 20 years ago is the stuff I'm preaching to you now. And I would read it and I'd say, do you realize what that says? What? What do you mean? I said, if I got up and just read that and said I believed it, people would think I'm crazy. And she'd say, well, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to read it. I'm going to keep going. Why? Because it's too good. Do you realize we take things so much for granted sometimes? This book was written by God. Do you get that? This book wasn't just a bunch of men sitting down, oh, okay, let's see what. No, God use men to write. God had men, he dictated this book to them. You understand? This is God's words. This is his book. God wrote this. Now you look around, you say, well, I don't see God anywhere. No, you can't. You can see his handiwork. But you read this. This is the closest thing. This is the only physical thing that we have that connects us to God. The only physical thing. There's nothing else in this world that connects us to God physically. Amen? That's why this book is alive. And you get this book in you and you come alive. And then all of a sudden it's like, wow, this whole thing. And people say, people look at you like you're crazy. The best thing I can tell you, I don't know if we have them. I'm not trying to sell them to you. I don't know how many we have back there. But there was a movie years ago now. And I did a teaching while I was in South Africa. And it was called the Matrix Mindset. And it was based on, you know, it's kind of the idea of the Matrix, because essentially it's amazing how accurate that movie is, of how there's a world that people see that's not even real. It's like programmed. And everybody's just plugged into it. And at some point, you have to unplug. And once you unplug from the world, you see the real world. And you have to decide, which pill do you want? You want the red pill or you want the blue pill? Most people are satisfied with the pill that keeps them where they are. But at some point, we're going to have to realize there is more to this. This physical world is so low level compared to the spiritual world. And the spirit world is what you were meant to live in. And yet, we want to live over here. There are so many movies out right now that are talking about altered realities. It's amazing. And they keep coming out more and more. Why? Because the church is waking up to the fact that what you see is not real. That what is real is what this book describes. And if you stand on this book, what you see will change. But what you see cannot change this book. And the funny thing is, this book is physical just like the things you see. But this book is divine. And the life in it, what you read in it, can change everything in your life and the life of those around you. And you start reading it, and guess what? When you read this, you're coming into reality. You see more and more of it, and you're unplugging from the system. And the more you unplug, the less the system affects you. Now, what's the system? Well, it's the health system, the medical system, the sickness, disease, all that stuff. And the more you unplug from that, from the system of the physical, the more real this becomes to you. And the less, and those things, you get further from it, and those things can't even touch you. And pretty soon you're walking to the midst of them and looking for the guys with the dark sunglasses. You know? And you think, oh yeah, that's one of those Mr. Andersons. And you start realizing, man, and your eyes get open to it. And all of a sudden you think, wow, I really am different than I used to be. Because that's the key. See, even now, after 3 days of this, we didn't even touch on some of this stuff. But the fact is, it all works together. So even though we didn't touch on some things, you got the stuff that connects to it. So now you can go in and study the rest of the stuff. And you'll, even if you read it now, you'll have the right perspective, because it will connect to the things I've said, and it'll head you in the right direction. And then you'll start picking it up. And you'll start, wow, wow. And all of a sudden, it won't be about church and religion anymore. Now it's life. Jesus did not come to start a religion. He had one, Judaism. Judaism was a religion. Judaism was not a relationship with God. Judaism was a relationship with animals to sacrifice. Amen? Jesus didn't need another religion. He already had one. Jesus came to say, look, it's not in rituals. This is about life. I mean, think about this. Adam didn't have an altar. Adam didn't have a church building. Amen? I'm not saying they're wrong to have. You understand that? We come together, we fellowship, it's good. But I'm saying, Adam didn't have all this stuff. He had a relationship with God. And he walked with God. And Jesus is called the last Adam. Why? Because he was the first one to come back into the earth that actually had a relationship with God the way Adam did. And even better. Well, that's what Jesus came to restore. He didn't come to restore a ritual system of sacrifice, or, you know, whether the sacrifice is an animal or money. He didn't come to establish that stuff. He came to free you from that. He came to tell you, rituals don't get it done. Relationship gets it done. When Paul talked about how we are united to Christ, he didn't say, well, it's kind of like a CEO working with his staff. He said, no, it's like a man and a woman being married. Amen? That's what we got to get back to. Now, we talk organization. We have structure. We do all that. Why? Because it's necessary. But I'm a firm believer, both in ministry and other forms of government, no more government than necessary. Okay? That's just the way I feel about it. You're here to help me. You know, you're here for me. I'm not here for you, talking about government stuff. But that's the way. Now we've got to get back to the place in the church where it's not about our camp, our group, our things, our church, our... No, it's about kingdom. We've been talking to our guys. I've been talking with all the guys. And I told them, we got two ways we can go. And every ministry is like this. I said, we can go business, where everything is about producing material and sales and that kind of stuff. I said, you can do that. Many do. Or we can go the way of revolution. See, with sales and business, everything is about control. Control the flow of information. Make them come to you, and for a price, you get the information. And you say, well, are you thinking that way? No, I'm telling you, there's only two ways you can go. That's one of them. The other way is revolution. Revolution is you're printing stuff as quick as you can get it, and you're getting it out there, and you're making it flow, and there's no control of information. You're trying to flood information. Now, if you're worried about your income, if you're worried about making a living, you will never be a part of a revolution. You'll be a part of the system. But if you're interested in kingdom and establishing the kingdom of God, now we're talking revolution. Now we're talking about disseminating information. We're talking about starting a revolution that in the body of Christ that will cause them to rise up and go out and be the church. And that's the direction we're going. That's why I want to be able to give my stuff away free. Right? Because people need it. And we want to be able to get that stuff out there and print books and get them out there. You know, unfortunately, it does cost money. But guess what? It's about the kingdom. God will provide it. Amen? I'm not taking no offering, so don't worry. Okay? Oh, we just did that, didn't we? I forgot. Okay. See, I should have said this last session. No. Do you understand that? What? I'll challenge you right now. Be a part of a revolution. This is a revolution that's going on. Things are changing in the body of Christ. Be more interested in people and in expanding the kingdom than you are in expanding your group and in controlling. You know, let's just start reaching out, touching lives, breaking chains, setting people free. Let's do everything we can to upset the religious apple cart, because God didn't start religion, the devil did. Amen? You know, so I shocked somebody one time. I said, you know, Karl Marx was right. Religion is the opiate of the people. Now, Christianity, that's a different story. Right? Because religion is always used to control people. Christianity is used to free people. Right? Christianity is the greatest women's rights thing there ever was. Feminism brought women into bondage. The church set people free, set women free, gave them protection. Pentecostal churches were the first forerunners of having women ministers. John G. Lake Ministries, man, we had women ministers from the very beginning. From 1914 on, we had women ministers. I firmly believe, you want to do a job, I don't even look at who you are, you know, sex, gender, all that. I don't even look at that. I say, if you can do the job, guess what? You got the position. People say, well, you shouldn't have a woman teach. Then don't sit under her. Right? Don't listen to her. Go away. Go do something else. Why? Because there's the first preacher of the gospel was a woman. Amen. Right? And not even the woman you would expect to be the first preacher. Okay? So, come on. I mean, do you really care if you're drowning, who pulls you out of the river? Do you really care? I'm sorry, you're a woman. Please, let me drown. Well, believe it or not, some groups are like that. Okay. Amen? All right, let's pray. Father, we thank you. Father, I thank you that your word is true. Lord, I believe that you have not sent me here on a wild goose chase. You've not sent me here to waste my time. That you have sent me here because you had people here, your children, who desire to know your will in fullness, your plan for them. And Father, I thank you that you have allowed me to simply speak your words, to read your word to them and tell them it is so. I thank you, Father, that these people that have heard your message, the very message that you poured out to the Apostle Paul, that I believe right now, Father, I thank you that these people will take this message, that it will be like barbed arrows going into their soul, into their mind, that it will bug them so much that they can't even pull it out until they do it. And when they start to walk in it, they will have your joy in fullness. So Father, in Jesus' name, right now, I commit this word to them. And I commend them to you to be established and strengthened. And I say in Jesus' name, right now, we commit this gospel, the gospel of Jesus Christ, the gospel as proclaimed by Paul. We commit the revelation of Christ in you, the hope of glory, to you, the people of God. And my one question to you is now is very simply this. Will your gospel die with you? Or will you make sure it is transmitted to the next generation and to the next and to the next? What will you do with this gospel? This gospel that we call Paul's gospel has to become your gospel. The same gospel, not another gospel, the same gospel, but you must accept it as your gospel, your baby, for you to transmit, to carry. You are not just a person with a job, and you don't just work somewhere. You're an ambassador of Christ. You're a soldier of the gospel. Your job is to minister in the ministry of reconciliation. So in Jesus' name, I commit that to you and charge you by Jesus Christ that you are responsible for the continuation of this gospel. In Jesus' name. Amen. 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 Well, you are dismissed, and we will see you tonight at 7 o'clock.